Right now, we're looking at yesterday's election results in the race for superintendent of public instruction. Incumbent Tony Evers placed first in the primary election, which means he'll be running against voucher advocate Lowell Holtz in the April 4th general election.
Peter Goff joins us now to talk about the result, what it could mean for education in Wisconsin. He's an assistant professor in the School of Education and in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. Peter, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, let's start. This is not one of the most high-profile races out there. 8% turnout, I think, is what I heard. How influential is the state superintendent of public instruction? How much of a difference do they make to what happens in education here in the state?
In Wisconsin, the superintendent's going to have quite a bit of control, especially in terms of charting policy and determining how policy is implemented. That's even policy that's set with the legislature.
And this is technically a nonpartisan election, but like a lot of races here in the state for Supreme Court, for example, it ends up being a left-right Democrat-Republican proxy battle. Can you look at the two remaining candidates now, Lowell Holtz and Tony Evers, and talk about how they fit in on that spectrum?
Sure. Lowell Holtz is definitely more to the right, proponent of vouchers and parental choice. But he's a little bit interesting insofar as Holtz had advocated for accountability, but now is advocating for reduced testing. And when we think about what it means to start funneling private dollars into or public dollars into private schools and removing that accountability option, giving the parents the choice to let students opt out, it gets a little bit fuzzy on the simple sort of left-right political spectrum. And in contrast, Dr. Evers has been, I think, in his actions, he's been more centrist. He's definitely an advocate for the students, but he's definitely backed by some of the left-leaning organizations, especially the teachers unions in Wisconsin that are concerned about the potential privatization of the schools.
Historically, have we seen education as politicized as it is now, where certain policy positions are the property more or less of the left and the right, of the Democrats and the Republicans?
Sure, that's definitely been the case nationally. Education tends to be a place that where people can reach across the aisle, but there are issues, I think, in Wisconsin, particularly Act 10, has politicized education considerably. And then the voucher program in general, and the expansion of the voucher program by Walker, has further politicized that. And I think having Holtz kind of take that side that has been so strongly advocated by the right definitely lends the political element into this election.
Now, this was not a huge election run-up here in terms of campaign ads and things like that. Do you think now that the slate of candidates is set that we might see more of that? People are looking at maybe national groups that support various kinds of school choice may start to weigh in with advertising money on this race?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I think some of that money was withheld as we tried to figure out who's going to take the number two spot to challenge Evers. There's enough interest nationally and beyond Wisconsin to see external money funneling in to see if Wisconsin can become a further champion for vouchers. We already have a voucher program that is set to expand drastically given the right opportunities. So there is definitely the potential to have that sort of external influence in the funding. So being able to look at who's funding the candidates will be very interesting, and where that money is coming from. To what extent is it local in Wisconsin or coming from beyond? And I think for Holt, it's particularly interesting because one of his talking points tends to be that he's a fan of local control, which is a kind of another code for the voucher argument, or can be, that the parents are making these sort of decisions. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out if he's getting a substantial amount of his funding leading up to April from outside of Wisconsin, and what sort of implications does that have?
You know, vouchers and school choice get a lot of attention when it comes to elections related to schools. Are there issues out there that you think maybe should be talked more about when it comes to Wisconsin schools that maybe don't get as much attention?
That's a absolutely wonderful point. The charters and the vouchers, they're great talking points. Everybody has an opinion on them, but they do educate a very, very small minority of our overall population. When we were Nick Hillman and I were on the show 2 weeks ago, we were talking about overall finance reform, and that's one of those topics that doesn't necessarily have as much immediate media appeal, a frenzy, maybe some of these other topics, the accountability, testing. But it's definitely, when you think about funding, it's one of those aspects that hits every single student in Wisconsin, unlike vouchers or charter schools. One of the issues with vouchers is that it pulls money away from all the other students. It also had the potential impact to allow our populace, our constituency, to self-segregate, which has there's sort of educational risks, and there's also sort of democratic risks that we want to keep in mind. But I think these are definitely the bigger talking points that we could sort of refocus would be well worth our time.
We're talking to education expert Peter Goff now about the results of yesterday's primary election for state superintendent of public instruction.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think of yesterday's election results? How would you like to see education change here in Wisconsin? Which candidate do you think you're going to back and why? And if you're an educator in this state, how are things on the ground? What do you see? Call in now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you in just a few minutes. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farad.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our discussion now about yesterday's primary election for State Superintendent of Public Instruction with Peter Goff from UW-Madison.
Taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. What did you think of yesterday's election results? Tony Evers, Lowell Holtz, both still in the race in the runoff for April 4th. What candidate would you like to see win and why? What do you think of education as it stands in Wisconsin? What, if anything, should change? What should the priorities be for the next Department of Public Instruction supervisor, for the legislature, for local school boards? How are things going in your local district? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Peter, in many places around the state, school board elections, primaries were on the ballot. Can you talk about the role that school boards play in setting the agenda, charting the course for a local district?
Sure. In particular with this upcoming election, any district that is going to have a school board election is going to have a higher turnout than the districts that aren't having a school board election. So when we look at which of you asked earlier about where those dollars are going to be targeted for funding, for advertising, probably see them spent a little bit more so in those districts that also have the school board members going up. You get a little bit more bang for your buck in that regard. The role of the school board has actually changed quite a bit since the advent of the revenue limits. So the school boards used to be able to set the amount that was being spent in any given district. And now with revenue limits, that has to be voted on and passed in a referenda that's district-wide. So that really took a lot of the control of school boards that used to be very integrated with the community and placed it with the community broadly. So the role of school boards has very much changed, and now they're much more integrated into the district itself, focusing on instruction and operations and sort of supporting, as it may be, the superintendent of the district.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Dan joins us in Menominee. Dan, hi.
Hi there. Well, I am a teacher, actually, and so I can tell you that the past few years have been a little bit frustrating for us. Districts that have been fiscally responsible have also come under attack. One of the big frustrations is seeing a lot of our public money go towards private schools, and I think this has led to a very visible teacher shortage. It's getting harder and harder to lure young people into the profession.
Dan, thanks for the call. This is an issue people have raised, especially, Peter, in rural districts. I'm hearing a hard time recruiting teachers. Also, the pipeline of teachers, people going into education schools, maybe slowing down a little. What do you see there, Peter?
So this is a major line of research that we've been looking into over the last year in Wisconsin specifically, this idea of the teacher shortage. One of the things we're seeing is that there isn't substantial evidence for a shortage of teachers. Shortage implies that that there just aren't the people there to fill the jobs. But what we're seeing is that there are people there, although you're absolutely right that we're seeing a decline in the number of people going into and enrolling and applying to teacher education programs. But we still have enough people graduating to fill the vacancies. We have trouble retaining people, and there are specific districts that have trouble attracting them. So it's not so much that there's a shortage. We can think about it as a supply side and a demand side problem, right? Sometimes the problem is that some particular districts have a hard time attracting people that are there. And other times we can think about there are just not people for those vacancies, like when we think about the high demand jobs, like the tech ed positions. And the agricultural education positions, there's very few people certified in those positions. And we do, in that case, we do have an actual shortage. But there are staffing problems broadly across Wisconsin. And I think the caller brings up a very good point. Act 10 really demoralized a lot of teachers and aspiring teachers, made it feel punitive. And we're definitely feeling the ripples of that in the education field.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dan. Peter, an issue that's come up a lot on this show and elsewhere, educational achievement gaps, especially racial achievement gaps. What kind of things are out there? What kind of tools are out there for the next superintendent of public instruction, whoever that may be, to try to tackle those gaps?
That's a great question. It's definitely one of those million-dollar questions that everybody's seeking for, that sort of grail, the silver bullet. But it's elusive and it's challenging, and at the end of the day, it takes a lot of work. We have some folks in our department. Colleen Capper is doing some wonderful work just working with teachers on the ground, looking at these factors such as you can think about how students are assigned to classes. And systematically, there are times, even unintentionally, when certain groups of students consistently get less experienced teachers, less likely to be certified, and so forth. And when those things, when it happens occasionally, it's not necessarily problematic. But when you look at it over the course of a student's educational career, these factors aggregate and put students at a systematic disadvantage. So a lot of these resources and strategies happen right on the ground, right at the school level, right at the district level. And what we can expect from the state superintendent is to put policies in place and put dollars dedicated to these strategies and the time and the resources, human and financial, to put these policies into place.
We'll leave it there. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Peter Goff, assistant professor in the School of Education at UW-Madison. He joins us to talk about yesterday's primary election results and the road ahead for the state superintendent of public instruction.